Yeah, the 347-850-8721.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. For me it happens all the time. It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call but I lost all control and I...
Hey everyone, this is Carly with Daytime After Dark. Tonight, well today, we have a very special guest, one of my favorite all-time leading guys and leading, you know, Australian, and he's been on not one soap, but two soaps, and he's very dashing and handsome, and it's going to be a great interview. If you want to call in, please call in to 347-850-8721. And here is Tristan Walters.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I think you are amazing the last couple, you know, the last time you were on Young and the Restless, I thought Colin was so, what's the word I'm looking for? Amazing, but, you know, Connie, you know, you would kind of play that little con on Zeal with some money. How was that taping? Because you guys have the best chemistry on Young and the Restless. I love Zeal and Con.
It's a fun role to play. I couldn't have actually had been given a better leading lady than Jess Walton, and we sort of bounce off one another very well, and that makes the role fun. I think the problem I see there at the moment is that they're not quite sure where this character fits in on the show, and as a result, my appearances there are somewhat erratic.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, what I love about it is, you know, I mean, you know, the two of you. At first, when you guys started, as a couple, I'm like, okay, how is this going to play out? But for me, you and Jess Walton have the chemistry, and it is so refreshing to see. And, you know, I would love you more on Young and the Restless. I don't think they use Colin as much as they should. I think they need some more of you. What do you think of that?
Well, you got to understand that when you come onto a show which is long-running like that, and where, you know, you have several well-established families like the Newmans, the Abbotts, Fenmores, et cetera, that, you know, a character like me comes onto the show and I'm not really connected to any of those families. And anybody in my position, that comes onto any soap that's existing within the family situation is going to have the same problems that I have now. And that is, what do we do with this person? Yes, he's popular. Yes, he knows what he's doing, but he's not a part of any of those families. So that's the problem.
Yeah, you know, because I love how you interact, you know, with your on-screen son, Kane. And I don't think they knew double racism as much as they should, because, you know, it's a very, you know,
great relationship,
but there's a lot of layers that we haven't seen from that relationship.
Well, as I said, you'd have this problem on any soap, and it's not that they're going to get rid of the character. I don't think that's going to happen. It's just that the character kind of doesn't fit in anywhere. They don't really kind of know where to put this guy. And I see that being an ongoing, continuing problem.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you're absolutely, you know, right. And if you want me to start a true campaign, Tristan, to get you on more, I would be happy to do it for you because, you know, like, for you, I mean, for you guys, I mean, for an actor, yeah, it's a really, you know, hard thing to be in daytime because, you know, you might not work for like a year at a time or 2 years. And I just, like I said, I love Karn, but also I have been a big, you know, fan of Robert Scorpio for, oh gosh, since I was born. And I just, you know, I love both of them, but there is such a difference between Robert and Karn and you. When I'm watching Young and the Restless, I don't see you as Robert in my head. Like, you know, when they bring other stars on other shows, you know, sometimes I just can think, wait a moment, he's being mean. But for you, you know, you have made it amazing to have that, you know, so different characters into, you know, both, General Hospital and Young and the Restless. So
yeah, I mean,
how did you see that?
That was a deliberate thing. I mean, I had to do that. I didn't have any choice. The chances of my going on to another show and being just another Scorpio spinoff were quite high, so I kind of had to sit down and think about the character and what could make him different. And it really wasn't all that different. It wasn't all that hard to do it. I essentially just had to be careful of what I did didn't mirror anything that I'd done on General Hospital. And then it became even more complicated when I started doing both shows at once. And a lot of people said, how are you going to make that work? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll just take a shot at it. And as it turned out quite well.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're totally correct. And, you know, last summer when you were on ZH, one of my favorite scenes that you did was amazing when you, you know, when you and Monique Spinard and Matt Griffin, Sonny, and Robert sat down. For me, that was awesome because really, you know, you really haven't really ever had many scenes with Monique Spinard, but I just found it really good. Like, you know, you both care about what's going to happen to Anna, and the fact that Sonny was there for Robin when you and Anna couldn't, I just thought that was kind of a nice relationship to have, you know, get a little explored. What would you take on that?
It was unusual, certainly because I think I've only ever had one other scene with Maurice, and it was completely the opposite of that scene. But where they kind of screwed up is that they could have made a lot more out of it.
Exactly.
They could have made a lot more out of Robert's animosity towards that character. That never really came across at all.
No.
And so that's a kind of question mark, but it's a question which has gone unanswered. In any case, I really don't see my character doing too many more appearances on General Hospital.
Well, yeah, and so, I mean, I know you, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know you're back to, you know, you're coming back a Young and the Restless very soon, right? Oh, would that be the moment?
How soon, I don't know. I mean, I was originally told that I'd be back in July. Now, I don't know whether they meant I'd be back working in July or whether I'd be back on air in July. If it's back on air, that's clearly impossible because I'd be shooting those shows now. So I don't know what they meant. I have no idea what they meant by that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and I mean, you know, I haven't heard of you coming back to the Ace yet. I mean, I would love Robert to come back. But I haven't heard you going there. But, yeah, when I heard about Ryan L., I did, like, a happy dance. I'm like, yay! You know, because I just feel like you two, you know, they need to use, you know, more of, you know, all Colin's relationships with, from Zero to Colin to, you know, whoever. And I think what it is, I love seeing you in daytime and doesn't matter where or what you're doing. And if you, you know, have the people bake under you, you know, I would be entertained with that because you are such a great seasoned actor of everything. And then, you know, how was working, you know, I mean, you have the Ryan Allen, ZH, but you also have the Bay. So, what's coming up on the Bay for you?
We haven't started the fourth season yet. I think the third season's just gone to air. So, I would imagine Gregory and company are sitting down and working out what's going to happen. I would expect that you might see a slight shift in the way the stories, the direction of the story. I think it might be a little more high concept than it's been in the past. So.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you, you know, you have been so, you know, like I said, you know, great on the Bay, and in this, you know, it's a nice stud, you know. I mean, now that we lost, like, you know, AMC, As the Platoons, One Life to Live, Guiding Light, and, you know, there are only four soaps left. I find it very interesting to have, like, a web series like The Bay because, you know, for people that, you know, are not back working in daytime, it's really nice to see the web series, you know, with a lot of everyone's favorites. So, you know, so what my question is, how is it different suiting the Bay than, let's say, Young and the Restless and the Ace? Is it totally different?
Yes. Now, to start with, we shoot like a primetime show, so it's not like we shoot consistently the way that they do on a soap where you have one scene and you shoot it from beginning to end type of thing on a four-camera setup. We use a multi-camera setup on the Bay, but it's shot more like a film than it's shot like a television show. Then they put it all together later on. So that makes for a different performance. That's all. Just a different performance.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, it does. And, you know, I mean, I love, like I said about, you know, web series and stuff. I cannot wait for, you know, more web series to come. And I'm just wishing the web series could also be, like, you know, for Netflix or something because, you know, I feel like the older generation, not your generation, but, like, my grandma's generation, they love their soaps, and this is where I got hooked on it because, you know, my grandma's generation was always washing all of, you know, the soap. But back then they called it their stories. And if you interrupted them doing their stories, you might be, you know, get really mad at, oh, get kicked out of the room. So I just, you know, wish it would be easier just for the older generation, because most of the older generation doesn't know how to use, like, the net. And if they do, they think they are going to break it.
Right. Right. The one thing that all the established, or what's left of the established soaps, always had was a kind of a viewer loyalty, and I think that's really what's keeping them, the remains of them, going. Unfortunately, they're not bringing in any new viewers, or very few new viewers. There's too much content out there now. There's too many options, and the kids today really aren't even looking at network television, period, much less a soap opera. So,
yeah.
You know, I think the web is really, the web is where the interesting stuff is really happening. I was absolutely blown away when I went to one of the web awards last year. And to look at what was up for an award was just truly incredible stuff. Really creative, thoroughly inspiring. So, you know, if that's where soap opera has landed, well, fine. All the best for it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, it is different, and, you know, things are so different from even watching, you know, daytime, like, you know, even 5 years ago, you know, like everything, you know, is evolving, and, you know, it's really good, but, you know, I hear from people all the time that, they would love to have, you know, another soap on the air or whatever, but I think, you know, that might never happen, but just, you know, I just think, you know, it's a shame that it doesn't happen. So, Tristan, I've never asked you this. So, how did you get into acting? Oh, how did you know that you wanted to be an actor?
Well, the fact is, I really didn't. It was a succession of, like, accidents that got me to where I finished up. I was doing other things at the time, and television in Melbourne was very new. We'd only had it for, you know, about 8 years, and consequently it was very... very sort of amateurish in its own way. But anyway, there was a couple of local productions started, and I was invited to go along, and because I was a musician at the time, we weren't making a whole lot of money. So I was invited to go along and audition for them. And I did, and I got the job on the day, and I started work the next day, and I thought, oh, this can't be too bad. And the money was good for the time. And so after that, it was just a succession of things like that that I fell into. And then I moved from, I moved to London in the very late 60s. And after I did that, I kind of had to make a commitment to the art because everything over there was so professional. And so I kind of took it a lot more seriously than I had been taking it. And that worked great. I had a lot of fun in London for 5 or 6 years. And then after that, I moved back to Australia. And from Australia, I stayed there for about another 5 years. And then I moved to the U.S. In the U.S., you know, pretty much everybody knows what happened in the U.S.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I just... Yeah, that is interesting. So, like, you know, when you, you know, when you're at home, do you have any favorite, like, TV shows that you can just, that you love, like, watching, like a favorite movie?
At the time, You mean back in the 70s when I went back there?
I mean, 70s and, you know, today.
I think when I got back to Australia, there was a movie which had just started. It was called Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw this movie, I don't know how many times I saw it, and I thought, yeah, I wanted to be like Paul Newman.
Ooh.
That was kind of, that was inspiring. And I never actually sat down and did that, but that's what it was in the back of my head. So, and, you know, I...
You know, yeah, and... and so between U.S. and Australia, so, you know, I know, well, I would, but, you know, right now is, you know, almost summer here. So does that mean it's like almost winter there? In Australia?
Yeah, I just got back from there. And it's pretty cold.
Okay, I've never been there, so I've always wanted to know. But Australia never gets snow, do they or not?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do. They've got some really
they
good
do,
resort.
Okay.
Yeah, there's good skiing over there. They've got a bit of everything.
I'm going to go one day because I, you know, everyone talks about how, you know, wonderful it is. And, I mean, you know, people, yeah, if it's, you know, freezing in the winter here, please go to Australia, but you can get, you know, but you can get warm and, you know, comfy. And I think
It gets pretty cold out there in certain places.
Will it? Wow.
Yeah.
Things I never knew. And I want to say that, in a way, I mean, you are kind of a grandfather again, but, I'm being funny, but I don't know if you know this yet, but, Kimberly McCullough, who played Robin on, your daughter on the New Hospital, welcomed a baby boy, this weekend. Do you know about that?
You know, I heard something about it, but I don't have any details at this point.
Well, you know, I mean, the details I got that, you know, that she gave birth to a little boy. So I just, you know, I didn't know if you knew that, and I wanted to, let you know, and she named the little guy Otis. So I thought I would let you know that, you know, just to keep up with the time. But going back to the General Hospital question, for you, you know, there was a big, you know, everyone loved, a lot of people loved Robert and Anna together, but then a lot of people liked, Robert and Holly together. So, you know what I mean? And those are awesome, too. Awesome leading ladies. So, you know, back in the day when it was so heavy with, you know, Robert, Holly, and Anna, how was that to be kind of in, you know, not a triangle, but, you know, I've always... You know, whenever I ask people, are you a Robert or Anna fan, or Robert and Holly, there's always been, you know, a great divide, you know, from Holly and Anna. And what was all, your take on it?
Yeah, this argument has been going on ever since I left General Hospital.
I know.
And I never get in the middle of it. All I say is this. They were both two completely different women, and they both went about the job in a totally different way. The only thing that they both had in common is they were both born in London, and that was it. They looked different, they acted different, they moved differently,
yep.
And they talked differently. But they were, that's it. They had one thing in common, they were both British. And you could take it from that that, you know, Robert liked British women. Maybe he did. I don't know. But they were both great to work with. And I love the fact that we both, both of those women, I made a significant mark in daytime. They'll always be remembered.
Well, you know, and like the whole debate, I was always tied because, you know, I mean, I loved you and Anna, but then I loved, you know, Robert and Holly, but then I loved Anna and Duke. So really, I could never make up my mind which couple to vote for because I didn't want to hurt the other one's feelings. So I tried to stay like party lines on that because,
right.
But I just, you know, like my mom, you know what my mom was, you guys back in the day, and that's, well, I got it. She wanted me to tell you that her favorite episode you were in was the Luke and Lola wedding. And, you know, it was incredible. But, you know, I mean, for you, you are so part of the big TV history of, like, the most watched wedding, you know, in the whole wide world. And even, you know, I think they beat out Princess Diana and Solas. So
yeah.
How was that being a part of such, you know, a big, you know, legendary, you know, moment on daytime?
You know, at the time it was just a job. I had no idea how big that was going to be. And as such, you know, I approached it like I would approach any job, any acting job. But in looking back, I mean, it was definitely something. And we actually we used the Diane Charles wedding on that show. We actually had a scene where we're sitting back and watching it. And
wow.
Even that, it was interesting how Gloria Monty was, as far as I'm concerned, best daytime producer ever.
Oh, yes.
And she just had a wonderful understanding of taking things and using them appropriately, taking moments of the times and use them appropriately. That seems to have gotten lost now. But the Luke and Laura wedding will live on forever.
Well, yeah, and my, you know, back in the day when, you know, that wedding and Elizabeth Taylor was playing Elena Cassidine, how
right.
was that? Did you get to hang out with her a little? Or
yeah.
Was it like she saw the scene and left right away?
I was fortunate enough to have a one-on-one scene with her.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was an experience. That was quite an experience. And, you know, we sat down, got to know each other, ran lines, and actually after, because we only had her for one day, and so they had to shoot everything around her that they were going to use her for. And after that, I didn't see her again until, it was about 1987. When was it before that? Might have been 1984, 85. You know, I saw her socially for a little while after that. And we got to know each other quite well. I was involved in a charity, and she was involved in a charity. And so, you know, we would move forth between each other, appearing at one another's charities. And I quite enjoyed that.
You know, and what I really respected about Elizabeth Taylor, even before, you know, the age opened up and got really big. She was on one of the first actresses that spoke out for, you know, that they need to be funding and all that. And I always thought that was incredible to us. And I always, you know, had a great deal of respect for the way she went, you know, did that. And I just thought, you know, it, really helped other people. And I just thought that was, you know, amazing, because back then it was almost like anyone who had it was going to die in, you know, with, you know, a year or two. But now when you have, you know, people like Magic Johnson and all that, that got it, and, you know, he is still living, you know, with it. You know, I just find that incredible, you know, that the science, you know, has gone, you know, totally good. And I just, like I said, I always have respected her. And I mean, I miss her. You know, I was really upset when she passed. But, you know, she, you know,
was
an incredible
lady. Very special lady.
And, yeah, and so before I let my other co-host on, I ask you a couple of questions. But I've been, you know, meaning to tell you, you know that you are the first, you and Robert and Luke were the first bromance before there was a thing called bromances. Did you know that you guys were the first ever bromance before the word even got bromanced?
Yeah, I've been told that before.
You know, I mean, there was something amazing about Robert and Luke's relationship. It was like always amazing and always fun to us. And how was it working, you know, for such a bio with Anthony and Gary?
We did some of our best work together, no question about it. There was a uniqueness there, a chemistry between the two of us, which was undeniable. And it was unique. Nobody else out there was doing what we were doing, the way we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we would improv a lot. We would take a scene that really wasn't all that interesting and give it some life. And, you know, that was just, it was one of those unique moments. I'll look back on it.
Yeah, I mean, it totally was. And it, you know, it was totally one of those things that was just almost like organic, because it's just, you guys have the chemistry and you guys just have this thing where it was almost like you two knew what the, like what, look at Marvin, you guys knew what the other one was thinking. You know, you guys were awesome when you did the whole Ice Princess stuff. And I, you know, I just, you know, as it will always go down, Tristan, as, you know, I'm the number one bromance, you know, in daytime. And so I always thought that was always awesome, that you guys were the start of what bromances were today.
Thank you. I totally enjoyed that commitment.
Well, yeah, and then, well, I kind of laughed when you went to Young and the Restless, and then, you know, your ex-wife, you know, ended up being Grenoble, but ended up being Jeannie Francis. It was kind of like I was laughing. I mean, not laughing bad, but I'm like, oh, because all on Young and the Restless, you guys had that kind of chemistry that was really nice to see, because when you were on there, I didn't see, you know, Robert and Laura talking. I saw the, you know, Colin and Grenoble having a relationship. But I just thought it was interesting how both of you came from the eights and then why and all, but you guys, you know, had different chemistry on both, you know, both soaps. And I always thought that, you know, I always wondered if, you know, they were ever going to put Laura with Robert just for a second. I mean, they could have, because it could have got really soapy. between you and Luke, because you're too cougar, you know, his girl, and the fact that you and Luke both had a relationship with Holly, I just thought that was so big. And, you know, when we saw Robin die years ago, and, you know, Luke lied to you and say, oh, by the way, Ethan's not mine, he's really yours. That, you know, those moments when Luke and Robert was on the bridge and you were just devastated was amazing. And I really think that, you know, the Emmy people overlooked both of you that year. And just so you know, I wrote a big letter to the Emmy people, and it wasn't nice because, you know, you guys got overlooked. I feel like you have always been overlooked for a daytime Emmy, and it gives me mad because, you know, I think you should be, you know, getting, like, a couple of Emmy nods, and you never have, and just, I find it really unfair.
Well, you know, that's showbiz. I don't get upset about it. I've moved on. I still enjoy being a part of the genre, but I don't get angry about where I fit into the puzzle anymore. Not worth
it. Well, I will be angry for you then. Whenever you go back on YNO, please give Christoph a big hug for me. He was on my birthday show Friday night, and I love that man, and he's incredible, and I would love to see more Colin and Neil. That would be a really good little dynamic. You know, I would love to see more of that because, you know, I mean, both of you are amazing, so you guys are so amazing. I think, you know, you guys should have, you know, more scenes than you do and everything. But before we go, I'm bringing my co-host Bobby on.
Sure.
Bobby has a couple of questions. Hey, Bobby.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Hey,
hello?
Bobby, can you tune?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing today, Tristan?
Pardon?
Can you hear me? How are you doing today?
I can't hear you all. You sound like you're in a bathroom.
Okay,
I'm
Bobby. You're
I'm
not
sorry.
Coming
hold
in clear.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. How are you doing today?
That's better.
Yeah, anyways, I just want to say it was just great that you got a chance to work with Jeannie on two different shows, and I think it was awesome. And I know you stated earlier that at this point in time, you just don't think about them, that you're going to probably return back to GH, which could have been interesting, because if the writers want to, they can just have you talk to Anna about her situation with Alex, or if Kim comes off on maternity leave, that it would be great to have a little reunion with Robin and Robert, and maybe possibly with Lil Emma, if Brooklyn gets some time off from school or summer camp or whatever she's doing this summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what the future is for me over there, but I think I'm pretty accurate in saying I don't expect to see Robert Scorpio back on General Hospital.
Right. Also, I understand there was kind of a reason to just meet up with Jason Thompson, because you worked briefly on General Hospital for a while during the Patrick and Robin Rook wedding. So it was kind of like a great reunion to see him on YNR now at Billy.
Well, yeah, there's always been a movement back and forth. I mean, back in the time when we had about 12 soaps, it was a lot more apparent, and you really could make a career out of it. Nowadays, I think we're getting to the point now where it's almost going to be difficult to make a living as a professional actor.
Right,
because
that's
there's just so much content out there. There's just so many venues. And that's something to consider for the future.
Right. Well, that's all. I just have to ask after you. I just hope you have a great day. And Carly, I apologize, and Krista, I apologize for the background noise early. I apologize.
Sweetie, don't worry about it. And
right.
Just remember, Bobby, remember, so everyone asking our day, Zenner Hospital is not new, date of our life. They will let people know their affiliates and YNL and POP. You can catch YNL and vote on POP.
All right.
Yeah.
I got a local device at home, so I'm going to catch days when it gets uploaded tomorrow morning as far as today's episode, because I was fearing that it might get preempted early for that or something else that happened rather than what had happened earlier for the show. But you can text me or tweet me or whatever later, Carly. I got to get back to work before my boss fires me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bobby.
Have a great day, Trista. And if you see Cam Keller, I say hi. And if you see Brooklyn Keller, I say hi. And hopefully we can see more of them on TH once Cam gets off of her maternity leave.
Yo, I'll tell her.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Okay. Bye, Mommy. So, Tristan, to close out the interview, some of the fans were asking me, what is your favorite, your favorite meal?
My favorite meal?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say, when it's done right, and it's not often done right in this country, but fish and chips.
Oh, I love. So, is it different in Australia than it is here for fish
yeah.
and chips?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
There's a couple of places in Melbourne where it's almost a delicacy, and the secret is the batter. They've got this unique batter, very, very light. And, oh, my God, it's just such a great meal.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love it. And my other question, what is your favorite thing to do when you have off time and you're not, being active? What is the one thing, like, your hobby? Do you have any hobbies?
I don't have any anymore. I got rid of most of them, I think. I mean, I used to love to go fishing, but I haven't been fishing in 10 years. So I can count that out. I like to read. Quietly sit down with a good book and read.
Well, in a very good book you might be interested in reading is the new Eric Braeden book, I Be Damned. It's very interesting. You might like it. I don't know if you like biographies, but I thought that book was really well done and really good. And so if you want to read that, it was, for me, I thought it was a really good, it took me one night to finish. Like, I'm like, okay, I need to go to bed, but no, I was just, reading that, until really late. So, yes.
Right.
But we loved having you today, and we hope you can come back,
Thank you.
And would you want to come back, when the Young and Restless story finally gets for you? We would love to have you come back when when you're back filming, Young and Restless, Ozono Hospital. And please, just if you ever need me to promote anything, or anything, let me know, and I totally will do it. And please have a great rest of the day.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Callie.
Bye-bye. Oh, David?
Yes.
Hold on. David, you
know,
just came on the line when he left.
I know. This guy out of my teacher's office, and now we're catching the
I am so sorry. David,
right,
next time. Next time, text me that you're there. You know, because I just saw it when I was saying goodbye, Tristan. So I promise when he comes back, you will be the first call I take, okay?
Yeah, well, I just got out of office, and I'm waiting on bus, so so no problem, it was my fault. So.
No, it's okay, but next time, if you're online, you know, just text me, and we'll get you on my way.
Yeah, well, I know, well, okay.
And so, you guys, we will be back on Friday night, and everyone have a great day. And go with that. No, David, Zeno Hospital is preempted. And then Zeno Hospital is preempted.
Yeah, Bobby
told
me already.
Yeah, well, Dave is, you know, they're going to go by what their affiliate, you know, goes. And it's interrupted for board. And why not? People, remember, you can see it tonight. Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, David, we will be back on the air on Friday.
What time?
6 or 7 West Coast time. I will let you know.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Okay, bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.